Hey, this is Sunny. You are listening on the iTunes feed. That means that you are not chipping in at the Patreon, which sucks because, you know, Vic has to buy lots of expensive things. Sign up over there, subbeacon.com, and you'll get access to the comments and all. And you'll get, most importantly, you'll get episodes when they come out. So we're talking about Shang-Chi in this episode. You could have listened to this weeks ago. And instead you're listening to it now. So, go sign up at the Patreon, to get the new episodes, and all the other fun exclusive stuff.
I gave you 10 years to live your life. Now you see me rise. And where did that get you? My shadow. I trained you so the most dangerous people in the world couldn't kill you. Son, it's time for you to take your place by my side.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis along with Jonathan V. Last and Sonny Budge. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL.
So we're at a Flash baseball game on Saturday. And after the games are done, the tournament, they hold a meeting with the players and coaches. Mm-hmm. And it's very somber. And after the meeting, as we're driving home, Flash tells us that one of the kids on the team, Squeaks, great kid, loves this kid. Squeaks is leaving and joining another team.
Oh no.
And from the back seat of the car, G-Money starts throwing a fit. I hate Coach Anthony. I hate Coach Jason. Why would they do this? And we're like, oh, settle down there, G-Money. What's the problem? He goes, why would they trade Squeaks? I really like Squeaks. Why are they trading him? They shouldn't be trading kids. That's for like the Nationals. Because in his mind,
yes, that's how it works.
The reason Squeaks is gone is because, well, we got some future considerations.
Yeah, yeah,
we think we get a really good line on a AA prospect.
That's right. You know, it's all in the contract. Did you explain to him it's in the contract?
We explained to him that with Squeaks, it's more of a free agent signing
than
a trade.
Free agency.
Like Squeaks, yeah, yeah, Squeaks yeah. knew what he was doing.
You got to move your family, you know.
I found this endlessly amusing.
That's very funny.
How about you, Victorino?
I am. I'm doing fine. I have for you all a recycling update.
Oh.
So, I mentioned several episodes ago about the compost caddy. The compost caddy, which every resident in Arlington received, whether or not they wanted it or not, it just arrived. And they put it on top of, after they emptied out on garbage day, if they emptied out a bin, there was something sitting on top of everyone's bin. And it's like a little cooler. And so I looked into it, and of course, this is their compost caddy, which they are now going, they want to start, you know, doing compost. And I think we had this discussion. I know Sonny doesn't, and I assume JVL, you don't set aside your food scraps.
That's why I have a garbage disposal.
For the environment's sake?
That's why I have a trash can.
So I was kind of curious, and it comes with they gave you a round of several biodegradable bags to use. And so I lined it, and I just started using putting in just coffee grounds. Coffee
you
grounds.
Want
out
to
of
be
curiosity.
Popular with your neighbors. Was,
right, well,
of
I was
course,
kind of, well,
you're gonna I'm for I'm all curious. Of your. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
you
it's a little
be
bit.
Able to make conversation with. No.
It's not that at all. But I am a little bit OCD-ish about certain things about like sorting and garbage and things like that. So I'm just out of curiosity, I started putting the coffee grounds and then dumping the bags into the yard waste thing. I had no idea it didn't start yet. I had just been doing it for the last month and then just throwing it in there anyway. But they said September 6th is the official start date of the composting in Arlington. I went over to arlnow.com to get the latest on it because they made the announcement. And all the commenters were basically saying, what the hell is this thing? And what are we using it for? And nobody's using it for that. And thanks a lot, because I wondered where our tax money was going to. And people are just saying they're using it for their coolers and putting other using it for storage and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And as you know, Arlington, you also, no more glass recycling. You got to take that to a facility. And they don't recycle plastic bags.
Mm. Wait, question.
Yes,
so wait, are they collecting the compost?
Ah. Yes. So you fill up, you put that liner in your compost caddy, and then you wrap it up, and then you put it in the yard waste disposal container. And apparently the yard waste disposal people will separate that from the tree branches and other things.
It's all going in a fucking hole somewhere.
And then, so on the website for Arlington County, they explain, they say that, the best place to put your compost, first of all your food scraps should go in there, right? Leftovers, eggshells, bones, everything. And then they want you to put it on your kitchen counter next to your food. And then they say, if you have concerns about smell or pests, we recommend putting your compost caddy cooler in your refrigerator.
Oh, that makes sense.
With the other food.
Who are these people? I don't understand. I know that bureaucrats are an insane race of underground, dwelling cannibal humanistic whatever. They're chuds.
They're chuds.
Bureaucrats.
Do you remember what that stood for?
Bureaucrats are chuds.
That's the question. Bonus
cannibalistic
point.
Human underground humanoid underground dwellers. Yes, I know. But the problem with these people is that they're insane. They've never met another human being. What human being wants a pile of rotting trash on their counter?
On their counter.
Where they're supposed to
I have no space
on my
counter.
If you don't want to put it on your counter, put it in your fridge.
Put it in your fridge
with all your food.
Where in the fridge? How big is this refrigerator?
Yeah. Do they have a Nancy Pelosi fridge in
there? They're thinking it's one of those because it's got the handle and everything.
This whole thing is very, very baffling to me. I don't understand it, and I don't understand what they hope to accomplish from all of this.
Yeah,
are they using it as fertilizer for public buildings? What is happening?
Yeah, there's an ultimate goal of 100% biodegradability. But the best part is in their press release for this, they said this is the product of years of planning. That's what they said.
Sure, years. Sounds like it.
Years of planning.
Victorino, Christmas is just around the corner. Would you like your own backyard composting machine so that you do not have to keep it on your kitchen counter? This way you could just go into the backyard and toss it in the compost
toss
bin.
Toss it there with the rats, with all the rats out there. Yeah, raccoons, that'd be lovely.
No.
I remember our friend and former colleague, Terry Eastland. I remember a long time ago seeing in his house, he had they composted, and it was like a giant garbage can filled with like coffee grounds and things. I was surprised. I didn't know he did that. But it takes effort to put all your stuff in there. Anyway, that's what's going on with me. Sonny Bunch, what is happening? And how are you feeling?
I don't know what is going on with my stomach, but if I have to leave halfway through the show, you guys just keep going. Keep going without me.
You're not
going to
pause it. We'll just wing it.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. imagine what I would say and then say it for me.
Do I see beads of sweat? What is, are you okay?
If you see me, it's just like... Just like eyeballs straining out of my head.
Could
with
you
like
move
sweat
the microphone to the bathroom?
Down.
Could you bring the microphone with you to the bathroom?
I could bring the whole thing. I think
there.
I could.
You could bring the whole unit.
I'd turn the video off. I'd probably turn
thank
the video
you. It's
off.
Very considerate.
Yeah. So Victorino becomes Tom Arnold in the Mike Myers
yes,
by Austin Powers.
Powers. Austin Powers.
You
right.
Victorino's
right.
in the stall next to right. you. That's right. You fight that
you
one
fight
out.
It. You fight it. That's right.
I don't know.
Is it something you ate, or do you think it's viral?
No. I think it's something I ate. I think it's something I ate. I went to lunch today with a friend, and I got these mahi-mahi tacos that were delicious, except for the fact that each one of them had an entire jalapeno cut up on it for some reason.
Oh, that'll do it.
I don't know why.
Were they on the Scoville scale?
Don't know why.
Yeah. Did you get your app out to measure the Scoville scale?
50,000. 80,000.
Each individual slice was fine, but taken in total, all of them together in my stomach
it
at the same
up.
Time, I was just like, why is this happening? Why have they done this to this delicious taco? So anyway, that's kind of what's going on with me right now. The other thing that is going on in my life. So I realized today that the Dire Straits live album Alchemy is not on Amazon Unlimited. I can't go to Amazon and through my music service download that album and stream it to my phone, which was very annoying to me because I like that album a great deal.
When was this album from?
Like 1984.
Is this the Dire Straits album with Money for Nothing?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh. But it's got a great live version of Sultans of Swing that's like,
oh yeah, sure.
Long. Lots
oh,
of,
that's probably after it's
of,
after that
lots
then.
Lots of fingering. Lots of mm-hmm. fingering of the guitar.
Is it like an extended version?
It's an extended version, man. You know. Do, 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 do. It just goes on for like that for 20 minutes.
So you can't get it.
So I can't get it. But then I realize I own this. I actually own it on CD. I own this album on physical media. And I was like, when I get home, I'm going to listen to that album. I like
that
album
so much. You
don't
have a CD player, do you?
And I went to my media area, and I was like, oh, how am I supposed to do this? Because PlayStation 5 does not play CD. You cannot play a CD in a PlayStation 5. You cannot play a CD in a PlayStation 4.
Just Blu-rays
as well.
Movies.
Just movies and discs for games. Wow. I have a Blu-ray, just a bog standard Blu-ray player mm-hmm. that I think plays CDs, but I haven't tried it out yet. So anyway, the long and the short of this is I may have to buy another thing for my I may have to buy another physical
well,
media.
You know
thing
what though,
to really enjoy
JVL, do you have a CD media. Player in your house still?
I have a car.
I have one in my car.
Still has a CD player.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't think I have the PlayStation 3. I don't think that plays CDs.
I think PlayStation 3 does.
Maybe it does.
PlayStation 4 is where they stopped being able to play CDs, I think.
Maybe I have a 4. I don't know. What was the first Blu-ray?
The first Blu-ray was PlayStation 3. That was the first PlayStation system I owned.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, that's not bad if you have it, because then your whole TV system is your stereo system for the sound, so you don't have to worry about...
Well, I've got a sound bar, so it's like it's not like coming out of the speakers on my TV. I'm a savage.
Do you remember the Discman Walkmans?
Of course.
You just carry around your CD with you, but you have to walk very carefully.
You had to walk very carefully. Yeah, you can't
that's
go
why you
for
had
a
to
run.
Get, you had to get the one with the buffering. You had buffering. To get the buffering. You get 48
really,
seconds of buffering.
Did the buffer help?
Around.
Did the buffer help?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You drop
not,
that thing. It would,
but not for,
work.
Like, running.
No.
Well, no.
Because just for walking casually. Yeah. Very sort of like moseying. You can mosey.
You couldn't run with that. No.
That's right. I mean, it's just like the allure of, you know, getting a turntable. But then what do you connect it to in order to produce good sound?
A friend gave me a turntable.
You gotta get speakers and things, right?
Yeah.
Then you get the whole hi-fi system. You just have
to
get the whole hi-fi system.
I actually own an LP player now, but I don't own just a straight up CD player, because that's where we are.
Where does your LP player connect to for sound, though?
It connects to my soundbar. I have a 3.5 millimeter jack that goes right into the soundbar.
I need to get that. Yeah, I'm all for that. Okay, good. Well, Sonny, good luck with your other experience. What are you drinking? Because that may or may not help.
Clench
just
up.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
What did you say, JVL?
I said, clench up, big boy.
I hope it's not like milk. Don't drink milk, you know, because that's probably not going to agree with that. When I was...
Coffee.
Good. Well, speaking of explosive performances, over the weekend, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings kicked some box office butt with $75.4 million, followed by Candyman with 10.3 and Free Guy with 8.9. Box office thoughts.
JVL, do you want to say it?
JVL. Biggest ever? Biggest Labor Day ever, they're saying?
This was, you had said, if this thing only does like $75 million, if this can't get to $90 million even without being on Premier Access, it could be a problem. And yet, the whole world is treating it as if the movies are saved.
No. That's not what I said. You said it wouldn't get to $50 million. You said it wouldn't get to $50 million, and I said that that's wrong, but if it only does $50 to $60 million, that's a problem. And early in the weekend, it looked like it was going to do, I think it was the range was $59 to $63 million. It only did $8.8 million on Thursday night previews.
That's
it
right.
After that, and after the like early,
sure,
the early
I
Friday
the
shows.
I thought the Thursday and Friday numbers were really strong.
No. Thursday numbers were $8.8 million, which was about $5 million under Black Widow. The initial projections off of those numbers and the early Friday numbers, it was something like between $59 and $63 million, which like would have been okay, which would have been, you know, not great, but whatever. It would have been very much on the lower end of what everybody was hoping for. And then it just kept ticking up through the weekend. It kept ticking up and ticking up. Eventually it got to $75 million, which is like, I mean, it depends on how you want to look at it. Is that on the lower end of a Marvel opening weekend? Yes, because it's not $150 million. It's not $200 million. It's not, you know, $100 million. But it is better. It's better than the first Captain America. It's better than the first Thor. It's better than the first Ant-Man.
Those are 15 years old.
No, they're not. The first Ant-Man
is 5 years
old. You
mean like not adjusted for inflation?
Not adjusted for inflation. Yeah. I mean, it kind of all depends on how you want to look at it. But the bottom line is that it is currently, on a per day basis, outgrossing Black Widow already. It has grossed more over its first 5 days than Black Widow grossed over its first 5 days. Nobody knows who Shang-Chi is, which is, you know, this is based entirely on the strength of the Marvel brand and the fact that it's got great word of mouth. I mean, it just,
and people just wanted to see a movie,
and that it's not on Premier Access,
and that it's not on
that's
Premier
the
Access.
Other, I mean, the,
yeah.
you none of all of this is apples to oranges because
hence
this
the
is the movie they. Hence the lawsuit. I am very, very interested in what each of you thinks of Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. It depends Shang-Chi. On... Some people were saying Shang-Chi in the movie, and then he said it was Shang-Chi. But of course, it's, you know, Chinese is very nasally. So it's Shang-Chi. Like, it sounds exactly like the voicemail you get from the Chinese voice that you get from the spam. Ever get those? It sounds like you're saying Shang-Chi. Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. Really, really, really.
Victorino Mattis, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Well, it sounded just like my people. Sonny.
Like the long and the short of it is this is a very good weekend for just objectively it's a good weekend for the film. It is, you know, this tripled the previous best Labor Day opening.
What did Quiet Place 2 open to?
A Quiet Place 2 opened to 48, something like that.
Okay, so it's bigger than
that. So this This isn't quite double that, mm-hmm. but it is double that over the 4 day instead of the 3 day. It's a big number. It is.
Well, I'm sorry. What is the 3 day number on this?
The 3 day number is 75. The 4 day number is 94.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's also like a culmination of, I don't know, it feels like, because there were no, you know, the rest of the summer and last summer for that matter.
Yeah,
there was,
I mean,
no big 4th of July weekend for movies because
there's a lot of pent up demand. Right? There's a lot of pent up demand. And people thought that Black Widow would kind of would fulfill some of that, and it did, kind of, except for the fact, like JVL says, it was on Premier Access. You could buy it for $30. You could take your, instead of taking your family to the theater and buying four tickets at, you know, $12 to $15 a pop, you could buy it for $30. And you know, that ends up costing Marvel a lot of money. It mm-hmm. costs them not just the family fare, mm-hmm. but also repeat viewings, because people who are going to watch it over and over again are more likely to buy it on Premier Access. I mean, there's all sorts of downstream effects. The big question will be what the second weekend drop looks like. If it looks like, if it does a Black Widow drop, a 70% drop, then I think a lot of people suddenly get very, very nervous again. But if it does a 50% drop, which is about what it should, with an A cinema score and 90% definite recommends, things like that, like, this movie could end up doing $60 million more than Black Widow.
Is there an
actual predict JVL. A pretty small drop? Because I think people are going to want to actually repeat view this.
I think people want to repeat view it, but also I think other people are going to, I think it's going to have very good word of mouth. And I think that this is the sort of movie that gets people back into a movie theater who had been avoiding it for a while.
Is there a worldwide box office that, I mean, did it come out at the same time or no?
I think the worldwide is $150 or $160 mm-hmm. million dollars, something like that.
Yeah.
But the problem is it's not playing in China. So here's the other thing.
I was going to say,
right?
I mean, isn't the whole point of this movie
just even if this movie grosses $250 million domestically in the United States, mm-hmm. which would be an enormous number. That would be that's a huge number for a movie like this, mm-hmm. that is not
middling.
That's not Black Panther. That's not, you know, Captain Marvel. But that's better than, you know, Doctor Strange. It's better than. Better than Doctor Strange, better than Thor, better than Captain America. I mean, like, it's, you know, what it is what it is. Shang-Chi is much less well known than Doctor Strange, just to general audiences. But even if it grosses $250 million in the United States and does, I don't know, another $250 million around the world, a $200 million movie like this grossing $500 million is not great. It has to gross $500 million plus another $200 million from China.
Yeah.
It's not going to get $200 million from China, because it's as we are speaking right now, Chinese audiences all over the country are watching it for free via the Chinese pirated networks. So that's just what it is. It is what it is.
Before I get to the next segment, are you okay? Speaking of segments, are you doing okay? Can we continue?
As long as I keep talking, I'm fine.
Oh, okay, good. Hey, Sonny,
hold on. Before you, I want to say one other thing that's interesting
about
this.
Please, JVL, we've got plenty of time.
So there was, I think, some question as to whether or not you would get Marvel fatigue because of the Disney Plus programming.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we've got the Loki show, we've got the whatever.
I didn't even finish that.
Right, all the
WandaVision, you know, Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Falcon
and the Winter
Soldier. Are people going to just be marveled out?
Yeah.
And I think that's been answered pretty definitively, which is that the movies are different.
Yeah.
People can take or leave the TV series, but those are viewed as second class citizens. Mm-hmm. They may be part of canon. If, you know, in MCU continuity or something, but that's not how audiences view them. Mm-hmm. Audiences view them as a different product that does not. They're a bad, poorly watched Disney Plus Marvel series does not dampen an appetite for a Marvel movie.
Also, the series tend not to have a lot of the A-list superheroes in the movie. It's going to be one carrying the weight, right? It'll be like one big superhero and then, or some middling superhero. You're not going to see it now because Captain America, you know, post Infinity War, Endgame.
Well, this is the other.
Could you imagine if there was a series with, you know, Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr.? But you're not going to see that. So
right. Well, I mean, this is the other question: is how does the MCU fare when it after in the after time after Tony Stark and Captain America and all those guys? You know, like I don't know. I do think that look. I think this is a huge. This is a huge win for Marvel and Kevin Feige and Disney. They took a chance here by not leaning on the Disney Plus crutch, and I think it so far at least it has paid off. Again, we'll see if it drops. If it drops 70% next weekend, people are going to be kind of freaking out.
And
again,
and then
so.
the next one to roll out is going to be Spider-Man.
The next Sony, looking at these numbers, bumped Venom to Let There Be Carnage up to the first weekend in October. There's the Eternals movie that is coming out the first weekend in November. Mm-hmm. And then there's Spider-Man No Way Home, which comes out, I think, Christmas.
Wow, that's a lot going on between now and then.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it possible that we are overthinking all of this stuff? And that the answer as to why this did well is just very simple. Black Widow did poorly because it was a bad movie. This did well because it's a good movie. Is it possible that it's just as simple as that?
I mean, I would argue that quality of movie has very little impact on first weekend box office.
You don't think audiences smell that?
I think you can see. I mean, you can see two things. You can see two things happen, and we saw this happen with both of these movies. So you know, maybe you're right that we're just overthinking it. But what you can see happen is a movie has a big Thursday and Friday, and then tracks down the rest of the weekend from the initial projection. So if you looked at the early numbers off of Black Widow, the projections off of the Thursday and Friday numbers were for a $93 million weekend, something like that, if I'm remembering correctly. I mean, those numbers came all the way down to $80 million, which is a huge drop. That was a huge, huge drop. This movie was projected at about 59 to 63, 64 million after the Thursday night, Friday showings, and it did $15 million better than that.
Yeah,
which is a big, big, big win.
But don't forget,
big track up.
Like, Kevin Feige has seen the movies. He knows which ones are good and which ones aren't. You know, that's the other...
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes looking now with hindsight. Had I been Kevin Feige looking at these two properties, I probably would have made the same decision. Run Black Widow on Premier Access to try to get as much money as you can up front, and then keep this one only in theaters because it's good and it will play.
Well, but he has also said that he did not want Black Widow on Disney Plus. He has said that, you know, he wanted that to be theatrical only, and that it was a Disney decision, not a Marvel.
Bob Chapek.
So, Bob Chapek trying to boost those Disney Plus numbers. So, and the other thing to look at here is we're doing so much box office talk.
No,
people are
going to
be skipping
ahead.
We've
got plenty of time.
But the other thing to look at here is, you know, the movies that have been put into theaters have done much have had much better holds and much better multiples. So like I'm just going to do like very quick remedial box office math. The multiple is essentially the percentage of a movie's final box office that is comprised of the opening weekend. So if the average multiple is 2.7, which means if a movie grosses $100 million on its opening weekend, on average, that movie will end up grossing $270 million, right? That's like basically how that math works. Black Widow had a multiple of 2.3, very bad multiple for a Marvel movie, but also just like a big blockbuster in general. The movies that have only been in theaters have done... There are two tiers. The first tier is like not great, which is like Green Knight, F9. Those both did 2.5. Your average, you had your averages. Don't Breathe 2 was a 2.7. Spiral from the Book of Saw, right? So a couple horror sequels that are kind of past their prime and long in the tooth. Those are 2.7. Stillwater and Old did 2.8. So like you see that in like That's about what you would expect for those movies. A Quiet Place Part 2 had a multiple of 3.4. Big number. That's a big number for a horror sequel. The Forever Purge, again, 3.5. That's a big number for a horror sequel for a series that is probably past its prime. And then Free Guy is at 3.3 already, and that's just going to keep going up because it's dropping like 30% a weekend. You know, it could end up with somewhere between 4 and 5, that a multiple makes. Of 4 and 5, which is a huge number. So if we're just doing some basic box office math here, Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, because it's only in theaters and because it's very good and getting very good word of mouth, I would put the floor of the multiple of this at 3, which puts it at 225, which puts it at 45 million better than Black Widow, which I think is a huge win for a character that nobody knows, you know, doing better than Captain America, Doctor Strange, okay. Ant-Man, you know, those movies. Like, I think that's a win.
Thank you, Sonny. You paused there for a second. I got nervous. I was going to say, no, because if you can't do a review, I'm sure JVL can do one in a pinch. Sonny, having a big boy review.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is a Marvel movie. That's what it is. It's a big budget, well-executed, competently told story with some good action set pieces and some decent special effects. Looks a little bit flat, but it's very funny. It's got good performances, and audiences love it. It is a perfect example of the Marvel method of filmmaking. Short plot summary here. We get a little prologue where we find out about who the real Mandarin is and the army of the Ten Rings. Turns out he got some rings, 10 of them, and they made him immortal. He's 1,000 years old.
4,000.
Oh, I thought it was 1,000
years old, I believe.
I thought it was 1,000. Vic, how many thousands of years old is he?
I don't know, but he looked like the same age as his son. Yeah. Okay.
But the Mandarin or whatever,
four.
Whatever he actually
4,
is called. It was 4? I thought it was 1. He is played by Tony Leung in this movie, the great Tony Leung. I can't pronounce it.
Leung.
He is fantastic in this. He's a Chinese movie star, very big, very good in lots of Chinese movies. But this is his first, I believe, Hollywood studio movie, which is exciting for the rest of us in the West. His son, Shang-Chi, played by Simu Liu, is the prodigal son. He leaves the crime family from whence he came to... live in the West. He is friends with this woman named Katie, who's played by Awkwafina, who I sometimes find very annoying, but I think she's very good in this as the comic relief. And they live in San Francisco, and they're happy there until the Mandarin sends assassins to get a little pendant from him. He wants the pendant. Whatever. Great action scene on a bus. Then they move to Macau, and there's another great action scene off the side of a building. And then they go to a mystical Chinese village, which is very dedicated to gender equality. I found that to be exceptionally funny. The ancient Chinese mythical village.
Oh, yeah, the mother's village.
Yes,
the mother's village.
Men and women are equal here in Talo.
Talo.
I'm like, okay, Talo. All right, there sure. That sounds, I bet.
And the
I
creatures.
Bet. Anyway... Long story short, the reason this movie works for me is because, look, like all Marvel movies, it ends with a big CGI, razzmatazz, harumph-harumph, big fight, whatever. But the reason it works for me is because the stakes are properly calibrated. Tony Leung's Mandarin character is not trying to destroy the world. He's trying to save his wife, who has died. He thinks he can bring her back. And... what he is trying to do could end up destroying the world, but he's not trying to destroy the world. And that's a big difference. Like it's the sort of thing that makes sense. It makes him very sympathetic. It makes the whole movie work on a personal, just character driven level. Like the actions of all the characters in this movie make sense more or less. Which is big, which is not always the case, and certainly in Marvel movies, there's often a lot of like, I'm going to destroy this world. And like, I don't care about any of that. So they avoid that trap here, which is very nice. But yeah, the whole thing is just like, it's just good. It's just a good movie. It's just competently shot. It's very, you know, Western audiences, you know, have gotten to know the style of wirework fighting that is prevalent through certainly the first two big action set pieces, because we've all seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon and the Matrix movies and all the Yuen Woo Ping fight team movies, you know, from Kill Bill on. So like we're kind of familiar with that, but I don't think we've ever seen it quite at this scale before, and quite this slickly done. There's a slickness to it that is often absent, frankly, from big Marvel action films. You know, the action here is not totally generic as is often the case in these movies, and they do a pretty good job with it. I don't know. I liked it. I'm kind of a hard sell on these movies sometimes, I really like this.
Who is the director of this, Sonny?
I'll have to look.
Yeah, it's nobody. It's not
Destin Daniel Cretton.
Destin Daniel Cretton. Yeah, I don't know him. I don't know him. So yeah.
He's from Hawaii.
Oh.
Okay. Just Mercy. He directed Killmonger and Just Mercy.
Oh, the
Michael B. Jordan is the fence turner.
I didn't see that one either. So yeah.
Killmonger. Okay, thank you. JVL, what did you?
Short Term 12 was his like big indie hit. That's the indie movie that Marvel found him from and assimilated him into.
I see. JVL, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it. And I see how I could have loved it, but solid B, maybe even a B+. Totally middle of the pack, maybe even top half Marvel movie. And this story is just very interesting. You have this guy who gets this power and it makes him immortal in some way. Although it's not clear if he's immortal or just he's not going to die of old age, right? Could you kill him if if a dragon ripped his soul out of him or something? Yes, right? He can die.
He does die.
In fact, he does die.
It's not like Kurt Russell powerful, but
right.
Powerful.
And he chooses to be a bad
guy. Kurt Russell and Guardians, sorry.
Yeah, so he chooses to be a bad guy until he goes and meets this girl and they have this beautifully choreographed fight / dance scene, which is the initial moment when he is fighting his wife-to-be, which I think is maybe my favorite bit of choreography in any of the Marvel movies. Is that fair? Because it's just great. And it's dancing. It's like Fred Astaire stuff. But anyway, the point is he reforms and he becomes a good guy. And he basically remains a good guy throughout the movie, even though he's nominally the villain of the piece. He's not really the villain. He never really goes back to being evil. And I like that a lot. I liked all the family stuff with the sister and him.
Played by the great Michelle Yeoh. Not auntie. Not auntie.
No, the one who looks like Chinese. Chinese. What's her name from Evangeline
Shang's
Lilly?
Sister.
She looks like the Chinese version of Evangeline Lilly from Ant-Man.
Yes.
Severe.
No, I would say that. I would say that's accurate. Yeah.
Anyway, there are a lot of things to like in it. And there are also some things which keep it from being like a really great movie, like a top 5 Marvel movie. And we could talk about that. But I am very interested in what you think, Vic, because you're the voice of the people and the people like this.
I know.
People big fans.
I'm going to have to disappoint the voice of the people. I didn't like it that much. I give it about a B. Yeah, I thought it was long. And I wasn't that interested in it. I just found it kind of boring. And I'm just so tired of the CGI. Another CGI movie. Man, that Eternal movies is coming up. I hope there's no CGI in that.
Well, I, you know, it's so interesting, though, because...
The dragons fighting? This is not what I'm watching. Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that the big CGI set piece at the end is like, okay, that's fine. But, like, the fight scene on the bus is good.
That was good. The fight scene on the bus was good. And then the fight scene on the scaffolding. Macau was good. Yeah. Macau was good, but... I just like, all right already, okay? And what, all of a sudden Awkwafina is this archer marksman? That's amazing. She saves the day. Okay, sorry, just checking in on you over there.
Well, because of the equality.
Oh, so she can do the, was she it? Can do was, the... Okay, well, okay. So I give it about a B. The plot's an A minus. Duration, I gave a D. The action and violence, I give an A. And obviously, sex nudity is an NA because it's a Marvel movie. My biggest concern about this movie is I'm going to be going around everywhere now, and people are going to be thinking that I'm the actor who plays Shang-Chi because we look so much alike, physically speaking.
Sure.
That's my big concern.
You're both the same.
Okay. I did feel like it was very much like a crouching tiger, hidden dragon.
You didn't like Ben Kingsley in this movie?
He saves this movie in many ways because even with him, the lines aren't that great, but he could deliver any line so well. And if you want to go to, obviously, I loved him. Every movie Ben Kingsley is great in. Schindler's List, for example, as Itzhak Stern. But,
interesting that you go straight to Schindler's List.
I didn't go to Gandhi. You notice that? I could have said sneakers, but
no.
As Itzhak Stern, he's the best. But if you can go on YouTube, there's the outtake from, speaking of which, of Iron Man 3, and he does impressions. And it's a quick bit with Robert Downey Jr. and Don Cheadle, and he does a bunch of different impressions. They're really good. So I like him a lot.
The Sopranos.
He's great. The Sopranos, he's great. Okay, so I do have questions. Can I just throw out questions?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Sure. Okay, question. Is this really legitimately based on a comic book, or was this just a naked ploy to make billions of dollars from China?
Yes.
Both.
Yeah.
C. Okay. All of the above.
Okay. So it was a comic book?
Yeah, Shang-Chi is he was a Bruce Lee knockoff from the 1970s.
Okay, so. All right.
Doctor Strange. Early
60s. Yeah.
I asked my question already about Awkwafina as the archer, which she picked. That was a bit of a stretch.
I'm sorry. You don't believe that she went to the magical equality village? And
you mean it just happens that way? Okay.
And then she could, because somebody believed in her.
Sure.
Somebody believed in her, nobody had ever believed in her before because she's a woman, but now... If I was a Chinese person, I would actually be offended by this. I'd be like, this is not what our villages are like. We oppress the women. That's what we do. It's so weird to me.
That's what struck you about it. Is that stuffed? It's going to be a stuffed animal that every kid wants for Christmas now, isn't it? Without the face, the thing, wings.
The fuzzy thing.
The fuzzy thing. Yeah. JVL, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little kids like eyes.
Yeah.
They like big eyes on their...
They
will not like that.
Okay. Can I ask you, fellas, your thought... I hope you don't mind. I just jump right to the ending here. Your thoughts on the stingers, and I stayed for both. How valuable was that first stinger? Because this Captain Marvel. Oops, I gotta go. Sorry, that was it.
I didn't stay for them. Tell me. Tell
you didn't
me
even
what
stay
the...
for the first one.
No, I had to go to a meeting for work, so I couldn't.
So it was long. I told you, plots of D, duration. Sonny, explain what happens. They get summoned.
Wong shows up and he says, "You got to come with me, Shang-Chi. You have the rings." And we got to figure out what's going on with those rings.
We need to break it down.
And so
it's chemical composition.
Wong takes them to, I guess, Doctor Strange's
sanctum sanctorum.
They do some tests, and Bruce Banner is there, and Captain Marvel is there.
But
in their
video conferencing,
they're hologramming in because of COVID,
but.
They're hologramming in like they're the Emperor from Star Wars,
right? The same quality.
And they're both like, Oh, we don't know what this is. It's thousands of years old. Who knows? Magic. It's magic stuff.
That was it. And then the very...
That was it. That was the whole thing.
And the very,
and then the very end is... Yeah, go ahead.
The sister...
I actually didn't stay for the last one because I read about it.
But you read about it. The sister is back at the compound, her father's compound, and she is training a new army. And at first you see all these women, but then you see men because it's an integrated army of assassins. And she's like, let's get to work. What are they doing? I have no idea, because I thought in the end she turned out to be nice. But, you know, and I thought it's obviously not a fight club. This is more. What is her goal? We have no idea. So that was that.
Okay. Can JVL. Are you? Do you have more questions? Or can
those are my questions. I do have other thoughts in terms of the actors. I agree with Sunny. Sometimes Awkwafina is ass. Sometimes she's funny. She was mostly funny here. I mean,
can
she was
either
also
of you
good
explain
at
her like, career to me?
No, I can't. First time I saw her was in Ocean's 8. So
yeah,
obviously
she's
been around
a comedian,
for a long time.
Like I want to say like
she's like a rapper or a DJ or something. Isn't
like
she?
a YouTube
so
comedian slash rapper. I don't know. She's somebody
totally
the young people like.
Screaming at us that we
but
have
I,
no idea who
I,
she is.
But I really liked her in the
I mean,
Farewell.
I know who she is. What I'm saying is I don't understand her career.
Yeah,
I don't understand why she is put on movie screens because she's not a great actor.
Right.
She's comic relief. Serviceable. You know, there are probably 24 real actresses you could have given that role to who could have done more with it. Whatever.
Is Michelle Yeoh going to be in every movie I see now? Because didn't I just see her Gunpowder Milkshake? I gotta get her agent.
That,
her agent.
She was in
that.
The,
that
the Frank Grillo Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah, she deserves a bonus. That agent, whoever it is. The
boss level.
Observation. This is really funny, actually. BuzzFeed did a story about Simu Liu, the actor who plays Shang-Chi, and that before he became famous, he was a model for stock photos.
Yes.
It's great. So
there's
like,
there's an IMAX one of him at an IMAX.
Oh, really? Yeah. He's like on the cover of accounting books, you know, like posing like he's learned. I mean, it's great. Okay.
That's funny.
Back to you, JVL.
Those are all
my thoughts, but I'm happy for them. Great, great representation for my people, JVL.
So I think the only reason the movie works is because of Tony Leung, who's an absolute movie star.
Yes.
Like, he's so good in this. And he's got the best character, but he also does the most with it on the screen. Here are my two central complaints. There are a series of narrative reveals about the story, which we don't have to get into all of them because I don't think we've done spoilers, although it's a Marvel movie. And these narrative reveals, every time you get one, it changes how you are looking at the characters on screen because it tells you something unexpected about how they got to this place. But the problem is that the reveals are doled out purely according to when the plot needs them to happen and not in any organic way. I mean, the movie's just going along and then all of a sudden we're in a flashback because this is the moment where you have to know the thing X about Chiang,
right? It's very
the flashbacks are weirdly chopped up.
Too. Yeah,
they flash back to the moment when his mother like confronts the guys, right? And then like they flash back to a different part of that flashback later in the film because it feels very slap chopped together.
And it's just not in a movie that traffics in that sort of thing, like for instance, The Usual Suspects, right? When your story is really being propelled by those reveals, you have to be very careful in how the reveals are introduced to the audience so that you're just, it's like you're being guided around a room by the story. And I think this just doesn't spend enough time and energy doing that, which bothered me. There's a real, real problem at the heart of the movie with the character of Shang-Chi himself. Could either of you describe Shang-Chi using three adjectives that don't have to do with his appearance?
No.
He's a total cipher.
Total null.
There's nothing there as a character. His sister is a much better developed character. Mm-hmm. Like, his sister, we could say, mm-hmm. you know, she is jealous. Mm-hmm. She is hurt and is determined to do it. He's just sort of there. And the story does a lot of telling, not showing. There's this scene early on where we are told that Sean and Katie are smart, and we're told there, we have seen nothing about them to indicate any sort of intelligence, but we're told that she has a master's from Berkeley. Oh, right.
That's right, he speaks
four languages. So don't worry, they're underachievers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we've been not shown anything.
That's right.
That's just sort of weak writing that bugs me, because you don't need that. And then, you know what? The very last thing, the final scene of the movie where they are breaking bread again and telling this fantastical story about what happened to them to their...
Loops back.
Their couple friends. That scene should take place with Awkwafina's family.
Oh.
So there's this charming scene mm-hmm. early where he goes to pick Awkwafina up from work, and we meet her family, and her family's hysterical.
Too. Yeah,
they're great. You know, the grandmother is there. The grandmother,
the brother,
is a really funny business. The brother, the mother, funny. Right? Yeah. And they're like, "What are you going to do something with your lives?" And the friends are not interesting. We don't need the friends. The friends have nothing going on with them. The Awkwafina's family do, though. We should have that. That should have been sitting with them at their mm-hmm. dinner table.
See, we're doing something.
Yeah. And again, this is just a simple...
That would have been better. Yeah.
So these are the things that, for me, kept it from being an A movie. You know, mm-hmm. that kept it from being really good. But I want to say one thing that I think is very interesting and very specifically Eastern about the movies... the message the movie has. Mm. So to the extent that the movie has an emotional conflict, it is Shang-Chi himself who has idolized his mother and hates his father. And it is him coming to terms with his parentage. And the Western version of this is, you are not your father's sins. Your father is his own person, and you are your own person. Mm-hmm. But the Eastern version of this is, you are both your mother and your father. You are the product of all that came before us. And it's just totally different ways of looking at history. Like, you know, in the West, we want nothing to do with, especially in America, right? You know, mm-hmm. like, history began the day we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And in the East, everything is like, well, you know, the ancestors are all there, and this is, we stand in a long line. I found that highly interesting, and I was bugged that the story doesn't do more of it with it. You know, like when the key is given to him that, like, you know, the key to unlock your potential is making peace that you are his kid too. And that's great. But again, we're told this and we're not shown it.
Exactly. A lot of telling and not showing. So don't tell.
That's why. Sonny, are you okay? You holding it all in?
Good.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Yeah, I was going to mention, you know, Tony Leung was in that movie, Infernal Affairs. Speaking of Infernal Affairs, Sonny, you're still there.
Well, I was going to say, do we want to give a quick rundown of some of his, he's in The Mood for Love, Infernal Affairs, which was the movie that The Departed was based on.
Yeah, that's right.
The Grandmaster, 2046, and the Red Cliff movies, mm-hmm. which are the kind of big Chinese epics mm-hmm. of the late 2000s, that are much, much admired and beloved by cineasts. So he is like, as JVL says, he is a real deal movie star. And this is, it's frankly a little surprising it took this long to get him in a proper, big budget Hollywood production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's great. And I could have spent the whole movie with him, honestly.
Do we have any other Shang-Chi thoughts?
I don't think I do. Do you guys?
I do not. Again, thumbs up. I liked it.
I'll just ask one question. How many secret groups are there in the Marvel Cinematic Universe which control everything that's going on around us. We've got the Ten Rings. There's Hydra. There's S.H.I.E.L.D. There's the Time Authority.
The Time Authority.
The Eternals.
The Eternals, right. I mean, what? How many more of these? Do they ever go to war with each other? Or are they all just...
Were these all in separate... Were they not in the same sort of... They were all in semi-separate universes in Stan Lee's mind, do you think, within Marvel
Comics?
No, they're
all the same. That's the whole point of Marvel, is that everybody is together.
I remember...
You know, it's interesting, though, that, like, you have this character, you know, who, again, he's essentially the Mandarin. He doesn't... I don't think he actually ever... accepts that moniker, uses it as like a joke, like this is what some Western asshole called me, a chicken dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like
it's a delicious one, by the way.
He has these rings that grant him enormous power and eternal life, and he uses them to basically be a robber. He's like, I'm gonna be a crook.
Well, I mean,
gonna, like,
I don't know why he would. His quest, like he has this insatiable thirst for, like, it's not enough, and so finally at
he
the end of the world,
some
even though he has, does he really have every? Oh yeah, right, because he claims that he was responsible for, and his he and his army were responsible for all these things around the world over the centuries, right? Wars, he's caused wars.
A veritable League of Shadows.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yes. Basically, and so the only thing left is to find the magical village. That's his final quest, is to find the magical village. Well, initially to live there before, and then that's where he meets his wife.
The Chinese Wakanda, really.
It is. It was like Chinese Wakanda, because how come nobody can just, you know, like, you got to go. The whole thing about the forest, you can't go. Can you fly over the forest?
But Fala Chen is there, and she is
okay. Oh, she is. She is, even by my standards.
She is okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. And you know what else she is? Juilliard kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Right up there with Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then moving right along. Thank you. Do we have any corrections? I certainly hope not a Spirit of the Week for you, Sonny.
No. Like I said, Dr. Pepper.
That'll calm your stomach down. I think that's what you need. You know, ginger ale. Anything carbonated is good.
We'll see.
Anything carbonated
is
good.
Oh, I'll go get a beer.
Yeah.
Go get a Shiner bottle.
JVL.
I got a shout out.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Shout out to a listener of ours, Matthias, a nice fellow from Deutschland.
Matthias.
Who is currently down at our beach place.
What?
And he and his lovely wife and his two very cute little girls, one of whom is like 3 months old, came by our house and picked up the keys, and he dropped off a little bag of gifts for the three of us.
Oh, boy.
So I have to send you boys yours. They're wrapped, so I do not know what you have. But I opened mine up, and I'm going to show this to you.
Shuffer Huffer time,
it is a Shuffer Huffer, little analog travel clock.
And a Kleine Uhr.
It's perfect.
Very nice.
Perfect. Thank you, my friend. And I hope you're having a good time at the beach.
That's right. Yeah. Matthias am Strand. Thank you.
We got to, I mentioned people in Dallas meeting up. There was much discussion in the comments about that. So maybe we'll try and set a time in October. Go see Dune on my TV or my laptop. Everybody will come to my house. We can watch it on my laptop or possibly my iPhone.
Is that going to come out on, like, streaming and theaters?
It's gonna be on HBO Max and in theaters at the same time.
Oh, this is terrible news for Denis Villeneuve.
Bad news for Denis Villeneuve.
I don't know.
He's like, not in the theater. Only in theater. Why? Why is this happening to me in the
cinema? Am I wrong to just say it kind of looks great?
Did you did you get that trailer? Did you get a chance? Did you come early enough?
I haven't seen it.
I did.
The trailer was fine.
I've started rereading the book because I'm a sucker.
I can't even imagine.
I got to start reading the Foundation.
I can't
books.
Even
that's
imagine
cause of that,
reading
that's
the book.
Out.
That's next for me, Sonny, because the new Foundation series looks so good.
Yeah.
Did you like the original movie at all?
The first Dune?
Yes. Not
the
at
David
all.
Lynch Dune?
Yes.
Hated it.
No, I know a lot of people are trying to make it a thing now. Right. They're like, "Oh, David Lynch is doing it so good." You know who hates that movie? David Lynch. David Lynch literally, I mean, he like, this is a very funny, it was a very funny story I saw on Twitter, but some guy went to hear David Lynch talk at American University, and there was a Q&A afterwards, and he goes up there, he's like, Mr. Lynch, I am a huge, enormous fan of Dune. It's actually the reason I came to film school, and I wanted to you know, be a filmmaker. And there's a beat. David Lynch says, I hate that movie. I wish I'd never made it. That's it.
That's good.
That's the anecdote.
It'll be interesting. What do you think? How do you think that's going to do on my plot quadrant, duration quadrant, or plot for that matter?
This could be the lowest scoring movie on the quadrants ever.
I'm terrified. I saw it. Oh,
Sunny,
man,
is that possible?
I don't think you could explain this movie in an hour
worse
and a half.
Worse than Widows?
I was going to say, it's going to be up there with Widows.
Yeah, like, even the other movie that I absolutely hated.
Wait, didn't Widows have that tall blonde girl you like naked in it?
I know. It's the most ridiculous. Yes, she was.
What?
She was. Elizabeth Debicki.
Yes.
Takes her clothes
really?
Off in that movie.
Yes.
And like,
I probably fell asleep because it was so boring.
This is why your quadrants are a sham.
No, it was really
boring.
They're
a sham.
I'll tell you.
It's not you. You have these ridiculous standards
right,
that you don't live
right.
up to and, yourself, and I'm
tired
of it.
I am the sole guardian of the quadrants. You know, The Beach Bum, I hated that movie, but it did really well on one quadrant. It was like out of control.
Did well on two quadrants. It's also 90
not
minutes
even
long.
Long.
It's 90 minutes long.
Using,
got a lot of
he's
nudity.
Using a spatula.
It's A plus in one quadrant, A plus in another quadrant, and still you're like at D.
I didn't like it. There was nothing redeeming about it. Okay,
but I'm saying the quadrants are a lie.
The quadrants are false.
It's a false god.
The quadrants are what they are. Now I have a shout out too before we go, and this is listener and friend Tanya McKenna.
Tanya
sent to me. Remember, she was the one who pointed out that place called Vic's Oven with the giant octopus
I know what this is.
Located in
Beaver,
PA. And she says, sorry, so a package arrives in the mail just yesterday. And she says, hi, Vic, sorry that I couldn't get you a Vic's Oven t-shirt. Thought this one, which they had at the local grocer's, the Beaver Super, might be an acceptable alternative. And I'm wearing it right here. See it?
Straight out of Beaver.
So like straight, and it looks just like, and the font and everything is straight out of Compton, but instead it's straight out of Beaver.
That's a microaggression.
And an Asian man wearing a straight out of Beaver. Like, what do people make of that? I don't know.
I think that makes it worse.
Okay. Well, on that note, Sonny, congratulations for surviving. That's all the time we are giving to this episode.
1 hour.
Questions, comments, compliments. Tweet us at SonnyBunch, at VictoryToMattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. And keep thinking. Oh, what did I say? Keep thinking happy thoughts. Sorry, that's from the last script. Until next time. So you think I should just walk around with this? Like, I don't know. It'd be a good conversation piece if I...
I bet Aaron Harrison would get a kick out of
it. He would. I should wear that or my other Cape May shirt that I still only wore once, which is the map of New Jersey, and Cape May is at the very bottom, and it just says Cape May, just the tip. I can wear that one. Yeah, I have all sorts of...
You should make a quilt of all your... grotesque t-shirts.
I don't think these are things you should wear in the workplace, Victorino.
Too late.
I'm sure it's fine.